So now we've got a lot to do. Now that I discovered that there's no shear on Thanksgiving in this yeshiva, what kind of yeshiva is there's no shear on Thanksgiving? Okay, but let's.
We started before Elul.
We started before Elul. You know how many times we pay that back? You know? that's with a lot of ribbis. We pay that back. Okay, what? We have Nisan also, yeah, and no Tammuz or Sivan. Okay. it doesn't add up. All right, so let's get moving here. So a couple of follow-ups on what we closed with last time. We were discussing kvatr. So a couple of guys told me they went over to Rav Shechter and asked him what he thought about the kvatr situation and whether you could pass it, you know, whether you could be a kvatr when your wife is in Nida, and he said no. He said you should not do it. He was not into the two pillow trick. He said let the wife stay home, just not be at the bris, and you know. And then you won't have to face an embarrassing situation being called for kvater. Okay, it doesn't always work out because you can't really tell her wife to miss, you know, it's her brother's kid. Like, she's not going to miss the bris, you know. So, but okay, he doesn't like it. He's not into kvater. What else to add? So we were talking about passing things, and this relates to a related topic, but not exactly the same. Carrying something together, to lift something together. So on, you know, misvara, I would imagine that if you're lifting something together, that's like a prolonged passing, meaning whatever the issue is with passing, whether it's chash negia or it's some sort of korva, but whatever it is, it's just when you're holding something for an extended period of time together, it's not just a moment of electricity where something gets passed from one person to the other, but it's even worse than passing. So the Shach in Sifkat and Gimel, when it says L'yoshin miyado liyadam, the Shach writes Afilu b'davar shu aruch, even something that's very long. And the Shevet Alevi, Rav Asen writes Hu adin da'asurim loses yachad Afilu chepetz kaveit Apol pi she'enu miyad liyad Rak nisiyo yachad. Rav Asen says what I thought was very logical, that you're not even allowed to lift something together, because that's even worse than passing, meaning that would be the natural extension of passing something. So there is a tshuva in Minchas Yitzchak where he discusses what about he was asked the following shayla. He was asked about Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Zayin Siman Samach Tes. He was asked about a chola lo aleinu shehu mishutak ktsas rachmana litzlan, someone who's partially paralyzed. Im mutarim ish v'ishtonidya lios ezer la chola la ha'amido ulahoshivo ulechasimo zebitzadze v'zubitzadze. Are a couple allowed to, you know, if one person can't lift him up and they need two people to help him out, to sit him up and to lift him up and to help him get around, can you have two people do that together? Can you have them handle the chola together? So what is this most comparable to? Which case that we've discussed would you think this is most comparable to? The baby, right? Meaning we discussed passing a baby. So someone said to me, yeah, a lot of guys came over to me this morning, so I don't remember who brought this up, but someone said to me this morning, I understand, Rabbi Willard came up with this idea that you're allowed to pass a baby because it's b'makom chola, because the baby is considered like a chola, and if you're allowed to be mekel because the guy's a chola, and you're allowed to be mekel when the girl's a chola, and you're allowed to pass things when, you know, either of those things are true, so you should be able to be mekel for the sake of a third person who's a chola, and the baby is a chola, so that's mistaken. No one thought of that before Rabbi Willick. Like, how could it be that no one... They always had babies, right? And baby always had a din of a chola. How could it be that no one came up with that chap before Rabbi Willick? So l'chora, it's exactly the case of the Minchas Yitzchak, right? You're dealing with a third party who's a chola, and are you willing to be mekel on passing when there's a third party who is a chola? So he starts out by saying, you know, by quoting the Shoel, who apparently compares this to a baby, which makes the most sense, where the Tshuva's Tashbe is quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva is Matir based on Hachai Noseyas Atzmo, that the person is really, the baby is really carrying himself, because, right, that's the principle of Hachai Noseyas Atzmo. But he says that the Tashbe adds that Tinok Atzmo Yotzei Uba michik imo la'aviv, that it's not only that a living being can't really be passed from one to the other because it's a living being, it's its own thing, it's not really called that you're controlling it, but rather that the baby actually makes a move to go from one to the other. And basically Tshuva quotes this, he writes, and he says, Dematinok katan o chole o kafus aser, That this svara, that the baby is going to make a move, that the baby is going to lunge from one party to the other, it doesn't apply when the baby is, for example, an infant, when the baby is tiny, when the baby is not able to go from one to the other. And he says, you know, a nafkamina might be whether the tinok is yotze me'atzmo or not, if you have a very, very young baby. Meaning, if you're relying on just the general svara of achaynos es atzmo, that applies even by a tiny baby. But if you're relying on, if you assume achaynos es atzmo is a melitza, and what you're really relying on is that the person is actually, the baby's actually moving, the baby's actually lunging from one person to the next, so then nafkamina would be if you have a tiny little baby that doesn't lunge, but is still hachaynos es atzmo, right? Where does hachaynos es atzmo come up? It comes up in Hilchos Shabbos, right? So the Mishnah, it's a Mishnah. A Mishnah in 10 Perek Shabbos, I think, tells us that if you have a child on Shabbos, so you're patur. It's hachaynos es atzmo. What if you carry a child on a bed? You carry a living person, a chai, on a mita on Shabbos? Are you chayiv for the bed? So the Mishnah says, no, you're patur for the bed also, because the bed is tafel to the person. And you're not going to be chayiv for the person because of a chaynos es atzmo. Right? That's the principle of a chaynos, that a living thing is not called that you're carrying it. A living thing is like this independent entity. So he says, you know, there's some poskim that are makil on hoshata by a baby at his bris milah, based on a chai nosei es atzmo. So he says, they must hold dein tzarich shu yotzei me'atzmo, that it's not necessary that the baby be old enough to lunge from one to the next. La'alacha ichmiru ha'poskim sham. And la'alacha, the poskim are machmir about that, but there are poskim, says the Minchas Yitzchak, that are makil even on a very, very tiny baby. Which, by the way, if you're talking about being a sandik, being a kvater at a bris, another sniff lahakel, right? That maybe you could apply a chaynos es atzmo, because you're not just passing a thing, you're passing a baby. Second of all, you're doing with a shinoi by lifting off a second pillow from on top of a lower pillow, right? And through that shinoi, you solve the problem of kurva, the fact that you're not even touching the item that the person that your wife is touching, that your wife is holding, probably takes care of the chashash negia as well. And that's why many poskim are makel with the double pillow trick. But okay, we don't generally poskim that you should pass a very tiny baby, says Minchas Yitzchak. But he says, you know, maybe a nafkamina might be whether we rely on the fact that the child is lunging, or whether just the fact that a chaynos es atzmo is if bal v'ishto nida biyachad loses es atinok. Can a husband and wife lift a child together if the tinok is able to go on his own, but he's refusing to go on his own? Right? Why would you ever lift a child together? It's a classic parenting trick. You're walking with a toddler or with a little kid, and it's a long walk, and it's hot outside, and the kid just had enough. He's tired, he's exhausted, so he sits down right in the middle of the sidewalk and says, I'm not moving. So you say, oh no, we're going to walk together, we're going to do 1, 2, 3, we. 1, 2, 3, we is universal. It works, and it's not so, like, no matter what community you're from, everybody knows 1, 2, 3, we. In Rabbi Shragi Kallis's notes from his shiurin in wherever he lives in, right? The whole thing is in Hebrew, and it says Lasos 1, 2, 3, WHEEE, right? Meaning that it's like everyone knows 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, we. So you say, okay, so we're gonna walk together, and the mommy will hold one hand, and daddy will hold the other hand. You go 1, 2, 3, and you swing the kid. So you know the kid's refusing to walk on his own, but he's capable of walking on his own. So if it's mishum no seyas atzmo, it's mutter. But if it's about yotze me'atzmo, that he's making a move on his own, then it's aser because he's not. So he says, l'da'ati afla tashbeitz dematir boshata asur lasis biyachad es atinok. He says, I think even the tashbeitz who's matir with passing a child from one to the other would not allow carrying a tinok, because that when you're carrying something together, it's the same story I said before, it's prolonged, and therefore there's greater chashash shema yigaba. And then he says, you know, maybe there's another reason there's another angle to take over here, and that is that we know there is a halacha, which we're going to get to a little bit later, that the Rama quotes in Sif Hei, that it's asur leishev al safsal aruch shemisnad nedes, that a husband and wife are not allowed to sit on the same rocky bench because they'll feel each other's movements. So says the Minchas Yitzchak, Mikol Shkein Sha'asulag Bia Biyachal Esasaf Solchiyotzi Ba'azah V'Kolzeh Nosef Alatam D'Shem Yiguzah. He says, if you're not allowed to sit on the same rocky bench, then for sure you shouldn't be allowed to carry or to hold the same rocky bench. Thoughts? Oh, yes, no? What's he talking about? What does one got to do with the other? Sitting on the same rocky bench means you feel each other's movements and you're sitting on what they call a love seat, right? Right? A love seat is like a chair that's too big for one person, but kind of a little too small for two people, right? So that's when you're sitting together on a love seat. So okay, so then it's I understand that's a davar shel chiba, and that's but so to get to stand up from that love seat and act like you're movers and just pick up the furniture, that's for sure going to be awesome. What's he saying? He seems to be assuming that the issue of safsal nesnadet is not about a bench, it's not about a chair, it's not about sitting together. What it's about is feeling each other's movements. That if let's say, you know, you're at a chasa, you've been at a chasa, the dance floor shakes a little bit, yeah. So let's say the wife wants to peek over and see how her husband's carrying on, and he's dancing in the crate, and she could feel the floor shaking from his jumping up and down. So that's safsal nesnadet also, right? That's what the Minchas Yitzchak time is. I saw that Rabbi Shragi Kallis does not agree at all. He thinks that safsal nesnadet does not mean that at all. You're allowed to feel each other's movements. Let's say your wife is sitting there with her elbow on the table. Are you allowed to go boom? But are you right? Are you allowed to do that on the table? So she'll feel it. You know, she'll feel. So why not? That's asr. Is there an isr to feel each other's movements in any which context? It doesn't say that anywhere, but that's what Minchas Yitzchak suggests. And then he's mechalik. He says maybe dafke yeshiva alav safsal biyachad nira b'derech kederech iba derech ohavim l'skabetz yachad l'svai b'chiyah gavna. Then he says Rabbi Kallis l'svara, right? That no, maybe safsal misnadein is dafke because you're sitting in a love seat together. You're enjoying each other's company. You're sitting together. Avol b'yeshiva ba'agala. But you get on the same wagon together that's traveling one place to another, that's not a milsa dechiba hi klal. And therefore, l'chora, lifting the same couch, is also not a milsa shel chiba. Then he comes back and he says that in our case, in the case of the patient that is unable to move on his own, he says, "Lo adif misaf salam is not made. It's not better than a saf. Dim asul leishal saf salam is not made. Kol shkein dasul lisa biyachat saf sal." And he goes back to that svara that if you're not allowed to sit on the bench, you're not allowed to carry the bench. He says, "Avol yeshlom ar kibun de in kan mishum derechiba dino kama agala kanal avol vitam davi kinegia mikol shkeinim nosim biyachat avi kinegia." He says, because if you hold the safsal misnadnet is like negiyah, that feeling each other's movements is like you're touching each other, then it doesn't make a difference in what context you feel each other's movements. And then he brings a raya from a darkei tshuva in Sifkatan Vav. In Kuvtzadei Sifkatan Vav, who quotes from a tshuva's priya sada, who's matir b'shasat chak, for a suma, for a blind person, that is, the wife can carry some sort of a stick or a beged, and the husband will hold the other side of it, and she could therefore lead him in whatever direction using that. And he says, "Memeli yeshlomar du'a din letzarachalif." A wife could do that for a husband, so for sure the two of them together can hold on to the same person. He says, and this is even better, because when the wife is leading the blind husband, she's having kavanah dafka for him, that she's helping him. When the husband and the wife are both helping the same third party, someone who's Nebuch incapacitated, so they're both helping. Their focus is not on each other. Their focus is on this third party, especially since he's mafsik bein shneim. They're flanking him on either side, so they're not even really next to each other. And he says va'od pivadai lo gara minigia al yidei davar acher, which you're allowed to do for a chola. V'yesh poskim shematirim v'iaf shal yidei acherim binigia al yidei davar acher af ba bal leishto achola. He says, that if a husband is allowed to help out his wife who is a chola, al yidei negia b'davar acher, So then the husband and wife could do Nidya L'Yedei Davar Acher to help out a third party who's a Chola, and it's a Kal V'Chomer. So the kasha of why didn't anyone think of Rav Ulik Svara, Minchas Yisrael thought of Rav Ulik Svara. He didn't apply it to a baby. He didn't say that a baby is a chola. But as we said, Rav Ulik Svara is not really about Rav Ulik Svara. Rav Ulik Svara is about the fact that he saw a baby on top of a car once because parents are idiots. Right? That was Rav Ulik Svara. So his halachic reasoning is that you need to have a halachic reasoning. So the halachic reasoning is that it's in Tzorach HaChola and you're allowed to pass the Tzorach HaChola. But you do have the same thing in the Minchas Yitzchak. So I think that is kedai to point out that you have the same thing in the Minchas Yitzchak. Any other ha'aros from Rabbi Sabovsky from the other day? Anything that we were off about in Shir that he said differently? Yeah. How much of the psalm needs to be gone? Yeah, did you look back at that, Rav Moshe? You tell me who's right. I don't know. I heard what he said. Look at Rav Moshe. You could. Right, that was. Right, and we know that he knows what a candy dish looks like. Yeah, it's good. I could explain. But you could say, start telling him about jelly beans come in different colors. But all right, so. sorry. The baby with putting a baby on the blanket.
Yeah.
He said you could pass a baby anyway, so you don't have to worry about putting the baby on the blanket.
Yeah, so just
touching a blanket. Right, okay. So let's move on to candles and lighters and things like that. So the Tshuvas Yad Eliyahu quoted over here, I think it's quoted here in Pesach Tshuva, that it's also the Baila Lahadik Mener She'ishto Nida Machzekes Ba, that it's also to light from a candle. Let's say you're trying to light a Ner Miner, it's going to be Chanukah, and you want to light Chanukah from the other person's candle. So you're not allowed. The husband's not allowed to light in there from his wife's candle, and it's also asur l'chamim. He's not allowed to warm himself by the wife's candle. And the raya that it's asur l'chamim is from a mishnah in the fifth parak of Maseches Machshirin. What does the mishnah Machshirin have to do with harchakas nida? Nothing. But here's the raya: ha'isha shayodeh tahoros umagisa b'kedera hatameya. A woman who had tahor hands. And she stirs a pot, and the pot is tameya. So the food in the pot is tamei. Imiziu yodea tameos. If the steam comes up from the pot and moistens her hand as she's stirring the pot, then it's going to be metamei her hand. So apparently the hevel, the steam that comes from the pot, is considered as if you're touching the food in the pot, and therefore it's going to be tamei. That is the raya. No good raya or bad raya. What?
There's no steam by the candle.
Meaning he's associating steam of a pot with heat of a candle. That the two are associated with each other. Steam of a pot has, when you learn Yeridaya, steam of a pot has a halacha of food. It has a halacha of the tam transfers with steam of the pot. It's the actual food. It's as if you're touching the actual food. That's as far as transference of tumah. That makes a lot of sense, but to say that becomes like a derech chibor, that becomes like you're touching the candle, very difficult to say. So Shlomo Kluger in Kinas Sofrim points out that the proof is not a great proof. Shesham gufa negiya metama, aval kan eina negiya asura mitzad atzma, el mishum kiruv basar, shlo yavo legalus erva, ke agam ni yishlomer, deleka kiruv daita, el mke nogea gufa, begufa yisham mamish. Shlomo Kluger basically points out Harchakos is not like every other area of learning. Every other area of learning, you need precision. You need to figure out what's the gedder of the din, and then you can apply nafkaminas, and you can, you know, there's a certain amount of precision in terms of what's the mechayev, and what's the, you know, you can use such terminology. By harchakos, it's all about one thing. It's all about, is it too much kurva? So in each case, it's not about, is it, you know, you can't use other areas of halacha that you know, oh, touching the heat of that's emanating from a pot, that's kinogeh of a pot. So now if the heat emanates from a candle, it's as if you're touching your wife or as if you're touching the wife's candle. Nothing to do with kurva, it's nothing to do with one topic has nothing to do with the other. And this is from Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger was known to be one who his derech hapsak is not so popular nowadays, because that was his style in general, was to not be 100% precise, to talk around the issue, meaning like instead of like pinpoint precision like a brisker, like we normally trade, he comes up with marmakomos that are roughly in the vicinity, and with enough of them, you know, you can get a sense of what the halacha ought to be. So yeah, that was his whole style, and even he's uncomfortable with this one, you know, that, with this raya from Machshirin. So the Pischi Tshuva and Sivkat and Gimel quotes Yal Eliyahu, not to light miner l'ner and not to light his cigar. L'chora, if you can't light miner l'ner and you can't light his cigar, l'chora would imply that both the husband and wife are holding the same object, even if not passing from one to the other. That would also be aser, because over there they're not passing anything from one to the other, and even that level of chibur is going to be aser, according to that that Pesach Tshuva. In the Tshuva's base, he saw Simon Yadali, he was asked about a woman holding an Abdallah candle, and he brings a raya from Shulchan Aruch Simon Reish Yud Zayin, or Chaim Simon Reish Yud Zayin, where it says, B'samim shal erva, kon kupa shal b'samim matli b'tzavara, o shal uchazis osa b'yadeha, ein mevorchim aleihem. Right, this is in Hilchos Birchos HaReach. If a woman has, a woman who's an erva to you, has perfume. Now, perfumes in those days were not a spritz from a bottle. It was like a necklace with different spices hanging from the necklace. So you have besam shel erva that's hanging around a woman's neck, and the woman is erva to you, or she's holding in her hand. Ein mevarchim aleihem. Do not make a bracha on such besamim. Lifi sha'asur lahariach vem shemiyavli dei hergil neshika o kiruv basar. You're not allowed to say a bracha on it because you're not allowed to smell it, because that's hergel and kiruv basar. So that's the raya that they want to bring. That woman holding the Abdallah candle is going to be aser, because it's a mali, whether it's a, which sense you're using, whether it's a sense of smell or the sense of sight and heat and, you know, feel of touch. So Rav Avadya rejects the raya because smell is much more arousing than heat. You know, he says, lo tinaf lo tehana af. You know, Lotinov comes from the sense of a smell. I always make sure to include that in chazan classes, that now that you're married, you got a shower, right? Meaning you probably should have been doing that beforehand also. But, you know, it's like, it's a huge turnoff for a person to smell bad. So smell, when a person smells good, right? That's why the perfume industry is what it is. Plus, Abdullah candles being used for a mitzvah, so it doesn't involve smell, and using it for a mitzvah. It's also the fact that the Pischi Tshuva didn't give that as an example is probably the biggest raya that was looked at. Meaning, Pischi Tshuva, he's talking about lighting candles from one to the other and lighting a cigar. What's the most common example of one person using a candle that the other one is holding? Every single week, in every Jewish home, there is Havdalah, and there's someone holding a Havdalah candle, and other people are using the light, putting their fingers very close to the Havdalah candle. So this Bishuvah didn't give that as an example, seems to be a pretty strong indication that it's mutter. One or two other things about passing. Gittin and Kiddushin. So, the easiest way as far as Gittin is concerned, what do? You make Shliach, right? Do Get Aliyah Shliach. Nothing wrong with doing Get Aliyah Shliach. I just saw a Flug was here this morning from Boca. My sister lives in Boca. She just met Eretz Yisrael yesterday. The Flug said, oh, I just sent the Get to Eretz Yisrael with your sister. She's my shliach lahalacha of the get to go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, right? We do getting from shlichas all the time, right? That's the easy thing to do. By kiddushin, that's not really an eitzah, right? Why is that not really an eitzah? First of all, it's, you're not supposed to do that, right? It's mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho, he ish mekadesh bo b'shlucho, right? The Mishnah is beginning the second part of the Kiddushin. So, hashta b'shlucho, you can be mekadesh bo mi bayi. No, Ella teaches us mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucho, that it's better to be there. Plus, if someone's spending an exorbitant sum of money on a chasna, it would be nice if the chasna showed up, right? Not to have a shliach in his place. So it's not really so shayach. It would also cause a great deal of embarrassment, l'chora, if the chasan is there and they're like, you know, they're looking for another kibud, you know, now to be the shliach l'kiddushin, we call up, you know, harav ha'goyin, whatever. So the Tshuva's Beis Yehuda actually suggested kiddushin al yedei shliach in these cases, but that's not the popular. So let's say you're doing a get in person. So, Badei Shulchan Biurin in Divrei Maskil Shum Davar, says Bal HaMegarish Ishto Rashai Lasei Saget Biyada. So you don't need to do Get Ali Deshli Yap. It's Mutter. Why is it Mutter? And the whole Chashash is that the Megiyah is going to bring about Kurva. This is a Maisa of Richuk. This is a Maisa of Vishulcha Mibeso. So in a Maisa of Richuk, you don't have to worry about Kurva. That's what the Badei Shulchan says. It's based on the Tshuva in the Beis Yitzchak, who uses the Svar of the Gemara Psachim. Right? The Gemara Psachim, Hu Atzma Mechazer Acharel L'Sarfa, right, that we're not worried that you're going to come to eat the chametz when you find chametz on Pesach, that you're allowed to pick it up and go bring it to burn it, and we're not worried Shema Yavol Liachlo. You have a donut in your hand on Pesach. Why aren't we worried Shema Yavol Liachlo? No, because as you're going to destroy it, and your whole interaction with it is to destroy it and to get rid of it, we're not worried that you're going to come to eat it. So over here also, as you're trying to send her away and to not be married to her anymore, we're not worried that it's going to lead to anything. Kiddushin, we already quoted, I think, all the different deos. In Darkei Tshuva, he says, no, she's not his wife yet. She only becomes his wife after she gets the ring. So it's not a problem. And that's why Tshuva's Binyan Tzion, Aleph Kuf Lamates, Tshuva's Binyan Tzion, Aleph Kuf Lamates, says, yeah, you could do a Kiddushin in the normal way. And the Raya is from the Ramah and Ebenezer, I think we quoted the other day, right? The Ramah and Ebenezer, some Samach Aleph writes, Achshav Aminuk Shalol Ledakdeik, we're not so careful not to do a chupas nida anymore. We do a chupas nida, and we do not delay. Better to let the chasen know before the wedding that she's a nida. You don't want that to be like a surprise, you know? Better to let, you know, after the wedding's over, they're ready to go home, and they say, oh, by the way, she's a nida. You're not going anywhere tonight. You know, now you have a child, you know, right? So, tov, better to let him know that. That's not a nice surprise to spring on a person. See, a tov, if the kiddushin were usher to do by a chupas nida in the normal way, it's not tov. It's not tov. You absolutely must let him know. Because otherwise, he's going to do the maisa kiddushin be'isim. So that's the raya they bring, that it must be mutter. We pointed out last time with Salvation Keld to drop the ring in the kala's hand, good. Rav Vadya says also that she should, instead of sticking her finger out like this, she should stick her finger up like this, and the chassan should hold it over there and then drop it. It's asking for trouble. You know, like, what?
It's a ring toss.
A ring toss, yeah. Right, exactly. I mean, you get a big teddy bear if you win. It's asking for trouble. I mean, the chassan barely gets the words out. You know, like half the time he puts the ring on at the wrong time, you know, before he even says that. You know, like to get too detailed instructions. You know, there's a bigger problem that goes on under the chuppah. You did the ma'aser kiddushin, then what happens? New ma'aser kiddushin says two brachos, and there's a ma'aser kiddushin, two eidim. Wonderful. Next thing, mechubad with. Kriyas HaKsuba. Good. So someone comes up and reads the Ksuba. Fine. Very nice. And then after he reads the Ksuba, what happens?
He gives it to the Mesir.
The Mesir is HaKsuba. The Chassan gives the Ksuba to the Kalah. Now they're already married, for sure. Already had a Kiddushin. And people are very makbid about this Mesir is HaKsuba. There's even a minag that Rav Shachter refers to as a minag of Amaratzos to have Eidim watch the Mesiris HaKsuba, to make sure the Eidei Kiddushin stay up there to see the Mesiris HaKsuba. Shachter is not so fond of that minhag. I was at a chassan, someone criticized me for going back to my seat. I said, how could you go back to your seat? You didn't see the Mesiris HaKsuba. I said, Shachter, sorry, Kiddushin. I think you would be upset if I stayed to watch the Mesiris HaKsuba. So,
what? I was at a wedding the other night, and there was a Rosh Hashiva who was Eidei Kiddushin and went back up to watch the.
Yeah. It happens a lot. Yeah, I think it's chazanish is not good like that. But at the wedding one time, I may have told this. Rav Weinberger was the other aide. So someone said, Weinberger stayed up. How can he even stay up there? So the guy came up to me after. He said, he asked Rav Weinberger why he stayed. He stayed up. He said, nah, just do it to make the Litvox happy. But so not really a hakavada. Question.
Therefore, that means they could do it in a normal way. Even if you were to do it in a normal way, there's a lot less
No, no, when she's a Nida.
I'm saying, in general, a person who, if he knows for sure that she's not a Nida, so he's less concerned about touching her as she puts on the
right.
Actual Issa to touch her, when she's a Nida, he has to be very careful. So there is always going to be a difference between whether she's a Nida or not. When she's not a Nida, if he's putting on the right. Register, it's not such a big
no, I mean, that's what passing is, a chashash negia, because when you pass something, it's a slight chashash negia. I don't know. So as far as the Mesiris HaKesuva, Rabbi Abadi, Rabbi Simon told me that Rabbi Abadi was Mekel based on Kalav Lo Bracha Asura Labai L'Kenida. They're not really married yet because they didn't have Birchus Nisuin yet, which is kind of funny, right? Kalav Lo Bracha Asura Labai L'Kenida. So don't worry about Hilchus Nida yet because she's Kenida, right? So obviously Kalav Lo Bracha Asura Labai L'Kenida doesn't mean literally kenida, right? I mean, kalav lo bracha, you're allowed to pass things to. You're allowed to. So, but it's just a little bit funny to bring the raya from that lashon of kalav lo bracha through the baila kenida. What if a woman is embarrassed, right? Or some other shasat chak situation? Are you allowed to then be makel on the passing issue? So, Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva. Yardei chalav beisim and ayin zayin. And he says, you know, Kavod HaBrios is not really concerned, because what kind of Kavod HaBrios? There's no Bizayon Bedavar. He says, everyone knows that 12 days out of a month, a woman is a Nida, unless she's a Zakena or a Mu'uberes, and everyone knows that in from people, 12 days out of the month, there are certain restrictions. I mean, it's not news to anybody. And he says, Adrabba, in the old days, they used to wear Begadim Yuchadim for Yemei Anidos. And in that way, all the neighbors would know to keep their truma away from the woman. Like, it was something that they would publicize. So we don't have any tradition of being bashful about the idea that you are a Nida. And he says, oh, I know why you want to be embarrassed. You're going to be embarrassed because the people that you hang out with or that you might be around are not Shomrei Torah Mitzvos. And they're going to be like, what is going on? What a strange way of practicing, you know, of interacting with each other. So he says, I don't think we alter Minog Yisrael, or certainly not Halacha, because people who are not Shomrei Torah Mitzvos aren't going to take well to it, or aren't going to understand what you're doing. And he says, you're going to tell me Nida Dafayin Aleph, Barishona Hayu Matbilin Kelim Al Gabi Nidos Mesos, that it used to be that when a Nida would die, they'd be Matbil the kelim vayu nidos chayos misbaishos, and the living nidos would be embarrassed by it. V'skina, and because of that, they were mesakein to be matbilin al gabe kol hanoshim, to be matbil kelim for all women, so that they wouldn't single out nidos as separate. So don't you see that there is a busha to be singled out as a nida? He says, no, over there, Rashi writes, the concern is that the nidos chayos are going to say, even when we're dead, we have to be treated differently. Even a dead Nida has to be treated differently than a live Nida. And that's going to be the busha. So says Rav Moshe, Adrabba, that Gemara is a raya, that if the difference is only when you're alive, then there's no busha. And therefore, mele, there's no busha, it's not going to be a problem. So that's Rav Moshe, right? That it's not a problem because everyone knows that you observe halacha. And if people are not observant of halacha and they don't know that, so then you don't you shouldn't be go-race. That and the idea that a woman's going to be embarrassed that she's a Nida is far into Judaism, because in Judaism they always let people know when they were a Nida, because people had to be careful about Tumentara. So that's all I ever knew about this, right? That Rav Moshe was Eish Lahava pretty much about this. Then one time, many, many years ago, I was, I don't know, 15 years ago probably, I was Rabbi Jesse Horn from Yeshivat HaKotel was doing a series on Gedolim, like, you know, 5, 10 minutes or 20 minutes about different Gedolim. I'm very into Gedolim stuff, right? So I was listening, and he said in the shir about, he's talking about Rav Moshe Feinstein. So he said, Rav Moshe is known as Big Make Elish. No, he has some really crazy chumras also. And one of his really crazy chumras is that you're not allowed to pass, and he'll say you're not allowed to pass, even if the wife is going to be embarrassed. Like a nutty chumra. So I'm like, nutty chumra? The whole world holds that chumra. What are you talking about? That's not a chumra. That's like, everybody holds of that. Then I realized, and I remember when I took chassan classes, Rabbi Neuberger said, Rabbi Neuberger used to teach chassan classes in Lincoln Square Synagogue. We all went, I don't know what, we were all here. We went down to Lincoln Square Synagogue to have 15 guys in the classroom, 20 guys in the classroom taking chassan class. That's the way it used to work. It's a different generation. So Rav Neuberger said that Ramesh holds it's usher, but people greater than myself have been makelamis. I'm like, who's greater than Rav Neuberger? Like, I couldn't figure out. Like, who is makelamis? Then when I heard Rabbi Horn say it, I'm like, ah, Rabbi Horn learned in Gush. So I asked some of my Gush friends, they said, yeah, Rav Lichtenstein was Yadur, Rav Lichtenstein was Mekel. So that's all the Rabbi Horn ever heard was Rav Lichtenstein, that Rav Lichtenstein was Mekel. So mainly he thought that, you know, it's all your, you know, based on where you're coming from. So he thought that Ramesha was an unusual chumrah. And then last time I taught Nida, 3 years ago, someone in the shir said, Rabbi Willard's Mekel. I said, what are you talking about? Rabbi Willard's Mekel on this issue? And they sent me a link to a shir, why are you Torah? And I listened to it. Rabbi Willard said beferish that he's Mekel on this issue also, because he says the definition of Kavod HaBrios, Rabbi Willard gave a little more time to it, he says the definition of Kavod HaBrios is whatever is universally considered to be embarrassing at that in that place, in that Malkum, in that Zman. So it could be that Enochinam, in the times of the Gemara, like Rabbi Shah says, it was not at all embarrassing for a woman to be a Nida. She would wear big day needles because they needed to know. That's a mentara. But nowadays, women don't go advertising that they have their period. It's not something that they're, you know, that they go around publicizing. So so people do care about it. And then Rabbi Willick said, you're going to tell me we don't give women aliyos because of Kavod HaBrios, but nowadays it's not embarrassing? He said, he didn't think that. He thought most people don't care about aliyos. They just care about being feminist. That was his hashara, if I recall correctly. So Rabbi Willard Titan, nowadays it's universal that women are embarrassed when it's obvious to others that she's a nida. So now we have Rabbi Willard and Rabbi Lichtenstein, you know. So I emailed Rabbi Sablovsky, you know, and I asked him, I'm just curious how come Rabbi in his sefer didn't quote, you know, the sheet of Rabbi Lichtenstein. I didn't say Rabbi Willard, it's a sheet of Rabbi Lichtenstein that you can pass things when the woman's embarrassed. And Rabbi Sablovsky wrote back, I have a quote here. I would never rely on that shita. Okay, that was Rabbi Sabowski has strong feelings about it. I guess that you know, it's a whole like Rav Moshe says. I was once in, I remember where I was. I was in the hallway of DRS, like in the front hallway, and my phone rang, and it was an old friend of mine from Eretz Yisrael, a friend of mine from MTA, but he's in Eretz Yisrael, and he's Rosh Kolel in one of Rav Sternbach's kollelim. So he's very close to Rav Moshe Sternbach. Whenever I need hack about Rav Moshe Sternbach, you know, find out if he's wearing tefillin. So check his tzitzis. You know, like I send this guy. So he called me up. He said, I just got a call from Rav Sternbach, and he is like on fire. I'm like, okay, why? He said, he called me up and he said, I told you why you was treif. I told you why you was puzzle, and I have another raya. So he's like, I said, okay. You know, he said, Rav Sternbach said that his newest raya is that the Rosh Yeshiva and why you are mekel to pass things when the woman is embarrassed, when she's a nida. And the big mekel of America, Rav Moshe Feinstein, was machmir about that. And you're going to go and be mekel and something like that. So he said, is it true? Is it true that Rosh Yeshiva are mekel? So partially true. Right, I mean, Rav Lichtenstein, Rav Willig, but not necessarily everybody. Rabbi Forst, in this context, quotes the first Ramah in Aruch Chaim, right, in Shulchan Aruch, about not being deterred by scorners who might ridicule you and not being worried about that. And you know, but what did Rabbi Sablovsky tell us yesterday? These things are easily avoidable. So you just use your head a little bit in advance and you try to avoid it. It's not always true, though. It's usually avoidable when you're on the same team. Meaning when you and your wife are both like, you know, figuring out, so you don't position yourself in a way where you're going to have to pass things to each other or whatever, right? Where it's not avoidable is if one of you forgets. Innocent mistake. She forgot, right? So there you are in public in front of everybody, and she's like, here, take it. And you're like, no. And she's like, why not? Right? So that's where it's, you know, it's really hard to avoid the embarrassment. It's not her fault. People forget. People are human. Yeah.
I assume that women were more embarrassed during the time of promotion.
During the time of?
Promotion knew that this amount of Zed people might have been embarrassed. It's just you were saying that there was no reason for them to be embarrassed. But for sure,
but he's tightening that it's not called Kavod HaBrios, because Kavod HaBrios docha la'aseh Shabbat Torah for sure, such an iser kal like Hoshata, Kavod HaBrios should be docha. And by the way, embarrassed doesn't work for all the other hachakos. Hoshata, we said, is from the Gaon and whatever, maybe doesn't exist at all, right? So we have.
So isn't he just saying that, like, Kavod HaBrios doesn't the heter of Kavod Brios isn't for studios. Like, and this is studios. Like, if people are embarrassed, it's not because they should be embarrassed.
So, Rabbi Willig disagrees with that. He says Kavod Brios means Lufia Makom Lufia Zman.
So all of a sudden, women were not embarrassed to say that they were in the world,
and even if she's embarrassed, right, then it wouldn't matter. Then it would be considered her own mishigas.
Is that like where?
I don't know where do women go around advertising when they're in Nida?
Yeah.
They do? Amish? In the world? They change their Facebook status? Half my period? I don't know. Do people use Facebook anymore? I don't even know. But
it's not as embarrassing.
You live in a medical school, right? So maybe it's different. They're all thinking of medicine. No, it's not different.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's not embarrassing. All right. So then maybe it's not embarrassing. So maybe we got to speak to Rabbi Willig. Ooh, maybe Rabbi Willig will sub for Rabbi Sobolowski next time. Put that down, Matthew. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. One last thing about carrying and passing in Tara Tabayis. Rav Avadia is makel to carry a stroller together, since we can rely on many Rishonim who never heard of the Yisr in the first place. They never knew that there was such an Yisr called passing. And when it's Shas Avchak, you can rely on it. And he quotes that his good friend, Rabbi Waldenberg, was also makel. Tzitz Eliezer was also makel. Rav Moshe discusses carrying something heavy together. Chelik Beis, Yardei Chelik Beis Min Ayin Hei, and he writes, Af She'en Al Zeh Raya Brura Mashma Sharo'i LaHachmir. You don't have a Raya Brura, but it seems like it should be Machmir. Why? Tanan B'Zavim Paragimul Mishnah Beis Porkin Min HaChamar Atan In B'Zman Shemasan Kavit Meim Zishem Mitoch Kovet Amas Nishan Zav Ala Tohar. It talks about if you have a Zav and a Tohar person lifting a heavy bundle or burden from a donkey, so because it's so heavy, one of them is going to push on the other one, and their weight is going to go on the zav. The weight of the zav is going to go on the other person. Right? He notes, even though you can't bring any raya whatsoever, because like we said before, kuf tzadi hei is not normal halacha. It's all about kurva and whatever, and it's not about technical precision and what's the nekudas adin and nisod adin and mishum shein b'zeh inyin chiba v'gamlo inyin regilus sheit starchu hepe dein zeh davar motzi lahar masos kvedos ligor mitos kvedos kdome mikol makom yesh lach shlasa mitzah te kol archakos yisei radifa. Says Moshe, I have a raya. It's not really a raya, but harchakos is always better to be more machmir than harchakos. That's the whole concept of harchakos, to be more machmir, so you should be machmir. And he says, "Ubamasa kal, if it's a very light thing where the other one doesn't need your help, maybe that's yoser chamur, because that's nikr ktsas shehu l'chiba." Right? Why would you help someone that's holding something light that they're able to hold? It's like, I can't watch you carry that. Let me carry it. I'll carry it. No, you don't do it. I'll do it. Okay, we'll carry it together. Right? Meaning that itself is an inyan shel chiba when you're carrying something light. When you're carrying something heavy, you just can't move it on your own. You need the other person to help you move it. So that's much less of a davar shel chiba. Similar a little to the Mishnah also in Shabbos, where it talks about masa kavi to masa kal in terms of hotzah and Shabbos. Right? If you're carrying something very heavy and neither person can carry it on their own in Hilchos Shabbos, the halacha is that both people are chayiv for doing hotzah and Shabbos. But if it's something very light and each person could just carry it very easily on their own and they decide to carry it together, pater, that's Shnayim Shasua. I remember one of my kids once, I forgot which injury it was, but some injury that happened on Shabbos that had to be dealt with on Shabbos, and the Hatzalah people went into the car and I noticed the two of them turned the ignition together. And that's what?
So it depends where you are, but yeah.
So that was the thing that they do, Shem Shasua, since turning the ignition is a one man job. So when two people do it, not sit down to a din d'rabbanan. So that's what they were told, to turn the ignition together. So a similar idea. Rabbi Eider writes that Ramesha was make of the makom atzarech also. meaning Ramban is dealing in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone's using public transportation. You got to get a stroller up on a bus and then off the bus, and you know it's Israel. No one else is going to help you out. So like you know they have to help each other out to carry the stroller. What about like putting on a tablecloth on a table? You're 10 feet apart from each other, literally. Is that mutter? It's very hard to do just one person. A little jar here? Huh? What? Why?
It's light.
Meaning, it's light, that would be more reason to make it aser. Meaning, does it have a din of a davar kaved? Meaning, if you say that the sort of the din of davar kaved is like Ramesha said, that it's not a davar shalchiva, it's just you can't do it. It's just impractical to do on your own. So even if it's something light, but it's unwieldy, right? The other end just keeps sliding off that side, you know, unless you have someone holding it on the other end. So then you understand that that would fit under the same category as the davar kaved. So lechari, you could be mekel. At least Peshas of Chak or whatever. Okay. Other korvos that will begin today. And we're not going in order. We're going more in logical order than we are in Shulchan Aruch order. Yeah?
In the case of the get, why don't we say the same svar of blood paths? He hands the get, which is no longer his wife. By condition, we say that svar.
So the question is, can you say it by both?
Blood paths.
And therefore what? Meaning, will it go in reverse direction? Meaning, if you're going to be makel by kedushin, should you be machmer by get, and vice versa?
Salvation is thrown into the hand. Get is thrown into her hand. And it's the same moment that it...
No, salvation held, right, because... right, exactly. Salvation held, you can't put it in her hand. But most people, I think, assume that you can place it in her hand.
Even if you... By get, you throw it, right? She's...
No, you don't throw it.
You throw it.
They put it in. It's like that. Usually put it there.
When it comes to holding something together, is it just about it being the same thing, or is it about knowing that she's holding it? Let's say, like, there's something really long, and if someone on the other end is holding it or not, you can't tell. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how to mark. Again, Hagdolos over here are very difficult. This whole thing is not correct. Just a quick couple of words about trips and safsal misnadedes. Rama and Sifhei, also leishiv al safsal aruch shemis nadnedes ve'ina mukhber zekosel k'shishu nida yosheves alav v'yesh matirim k'shada macher hivsik v'yoshev b'neihem. At some matir, if there's a third party sitting on the bench with you. This is based on the Mordechai in the first part of Masechta Shabbos, quoting Rashi, that you're not allowed to sit on a long bench. So how do we categorize this iser? Not to sit on a long bench. This is a machlokas between the Taz, Sivkat and Vav, and the Shach, and the Nekudas HaKesef. The Taz writes that he talks about sitting on a bed causing hirhur, and he proves it that the Yisr of Safsal Aruch, the Kol Shkin Yeshiva B'mita Shaladikah Hirhur Tzvei. If even Safsal Aruch is Asur, so Kal B'chomer sitting on her bed is even more of a hirhur associated thing. So he clearly associates the Safsal with the Yisr of sitting on her bed. And the placement of the Rama suggests that the Taz is correct, that that's what it's about, right? Because the Rama is on Sifhei. And Sifhei is Lo Yeshev B'mita HaMiyuchedes La'afilu Shalom B'faneha. So it's very mistaver that it relates to similar to a bed. The Shach, however, Nukudas HaKesef, says that the comparison of the Taz is not correct. The Hasam Lav Mishum Hiruru El Kivin De Misnodedes Havi Kinegia Inami Kivin De Shneim Yoshem El B'yachad Havi Leki Yoshenim HaB'mita Da'asur leaving out the second half of the Shach at least, he says it's more doma l'negia, it's like you're touching. So it's not about sitting on each other's bed, it's about feeling each other's movements. And that's why Rav Moshe in Chelek Beis, Simen Yodei Beis, Ayin Zayin writes, Ubdvar lisa b'mashin, a car, shekasavti sheyesh la'atir bofen shlo yiguza b'zeh, where I write in the tshuva that you're allowed to sit on a bench seat in a car when you're not touching each other. It used to be the front seat of a car was a bench seat also. And people would sometimes just throw a kid in the middle. Like, safety was not really so much of an Indian back in the day. So the front seat was a bench seat also. So can a couple go anywhere together because they're sitting on the same bench seat of a car? So Ramesh was Mekel. So he writes... because whatever nidnud you feel is from the engine, it's not from her necessarily. And the machine is a davar kaved, and her movement is not really going to be something I can easily feel. What did the Ramah say? That if you have a shaky bench that's not mechuber lekosel, it's aser. So if it is mechuber lekosel, it's mutter. He says by a car, it's mechuber lekosel because that's considered mechuber. It's a fascinating chiddush. I thought the Ramah says not mechuber lekosel because if it's mechuber lekosel, you just won't feel the movement. It's attached to something. Ramah says no. It's saying that if all else is equal, that you feel the movement when it's mechuber and you feel the movement when it's not mechuber. Only when it's not mechuber is it a problem. V'tameh heteru mishum she'etim is yeshiva l'sapsel hu rak chumra yaseira v'lo asus ha b'mechuber she'esh din b'mechuber she'edim esnadnei. He says you have to realize the entire din of sapsel esnadnei is chumra yaseira. So we don't add anything beyond what that chumra actually is. So in the Shari Torah, the Badei Shulchan quotes the Shari Torah disagrees with the Masha, holds that mechuber is only a heter because it's not misnad nedes, which I thought I think was pash pshan in the Ramah, but that's not how Ramesh understands. So potential exceptions, and with this we'll close. Beis Yosef says that Shumas Adeshin called this chumra bi'alma, and says that one of the gedolim was matir sitting on a bench that was attached to the wall. So that's where the Ramah says, okay, fine, if it's attached to the wall, I'll be makil, but if it's detached from the wall, we have to be machmir. So Beis Yosef then quotes a Bedek Abayis, v'yesh matirim yeshiv adam b'nehem, and he goes on to quote the Aguda that allows sitting in a small wagon or a boat if somebody else is sitting in between them. And l'chorah, the third party solves the problem, right? So third party solves both problems, both the shock's problem and the taz's problem, right? The taz was a problem of hirhur, like on a bed, and the shach's problem was negiyah. So if you have someone else in between, it's not particularly romantic when there's someone else sitting in between, and there's no chashash negiyah. Nafkamina might be if the third party is not sitting in between them, or if the third party is a baby, or if the third party is an inanimate object like a box. So Chachma Sadam and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch are both machmir about that. But the Darkei Moshe, Beis Yosef, the quote the Aguda says that it does work to have a box or something like that in between. The Chidar writes in Birkei Yosef, Vasfaradim Noagin Heter V'Safsal. Based on the Beis Yosef, because Beis Yosef writes, V'chum Rezu the Yeshiva Safsal Shemati Shenogin Boha Ashkenazim Aval Sfaradim Lo Noaguba. Since this is an Ashkenazi Chumra, Sfaradim, we don't have this Chumra. So Safsal Masnadeh and anything that's an outgrowth of Safsal Masnadeh, first of all, anything that's an outgrowth of Safsal Masnadeh probably is not us to begin with. Because the whole thing of Safsal Masnadeh is a very big chiddush. But for Sfaradim, for sure, Safsal Masnadeh and anything that comes out from it would l'chora be mutter. On an airplane, sitting next to each other on an airplane, that's a different issue. That's just like a very realistic chashash negiyah. So probably you should put something in between that will prevent the negiyah, especially presuming you're not flying business or first class, where it's like you can't help but to touch everybody around you.
According to the shocks idea that, like Nagia, that maybe carrying things together would also be a problem because you're feeling each other's push and pull and you carry something.
Yes, that's the question. Do you extend Safsal Masnadeh to any time you feel each other's, as we spoke about before, that perhaps not. So Be'ez Hashem, next time, which I thought was going to be tomorrow, but apparently it's not going to be, we'll talk about going in a wagon or a boat together. You want to go paddle boating or whatever, I don't know. And Schok and Kalas Rosh and Estaklus, all these other more intimate types of activities. Okay. Have a great day, everybody. And I guess a great Shabbos, too. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your turkey. Okay.